The Sunday Sermon 11.5 Police Integrity. The police seem to wonder why no one working class ever wants to talk to them. Nearly 22 years ago, I made a victim statement about my childhood in Ham. The police's so-called authenticity tests alone destroyed my life. I almost hate cops as much as I hate child abusers. That's the reality. Note, I now live in flats full of police employees. Another set-up situation. It was worse than a waste of time ever talking to the police about my childhood. They abused trust big time. I was told by cops assigned to the case following my being headhunted by a so-called victims' rights group over the internet, that my testimony alone would be sufficient to lead to a court trial in attempt to convict my abusers. So piss poor was the interview techniques of the detectives that I only gave them half the story in statement over a period of a day. I had tried to give a victim statement twice before and was met by serious obstructions to doing so. On the day of the interview, I was stalked by plainclothes to the point of harassment and seemingly spiked with a stimulant by police operatives en route to or at the interview. Having heard a chunk of the child abuse in detail from my childhood, in wrapping up, the detective sergeant in a creepy tone said, "I really enjoyed hearing that." I had disclosed as a survivor for over a decade in support groups and one-to-one therapy prior to meeting the cops. The first thing that they immediately wanted to do was casualty me with psychiatry. They did not succeed in this. The only time I had been under a psychiatrist was as a teen coming off drugs and alcohol, and then only for 2 weeks. They had assigned a counsellor with another agency through the so-called victim support charity that contacted me over the internet. The counsellors were totally corrupt and tried to reframe my history as addiction when I had in fact been abstinent the best part of 12 years. The police failed to get a psychiatric intervention. The counsellors had direct social links to Masonic and media plants in the support groups I had previously used and tried to get me back into drugs and manipulated me to try to enter sex work. So much for Bernardo's. There appears to have been a murder investigation launched into me based on misinformation spread by religious and 12-step groups about me at the time. It turns out I had been shadowed throughout my sobriety recovery by Masonic plants trying to engineer controls to keep me silenced as a victim of abuse, both within support groups and in my social connections. I lost a house I owned outright through police demands. I moved into hotels for my own safety during the operation. Within 12 months, I was penniless following their suggestions and I had to present as homeless, having sold my house at a loss for protection at police request. The corrupt councillors, discovered to be ex-cons involved in drug smuggling, spiked me with drugs and tried to get me put in a psychiatric ward as I confronted corruption within their services. The mess created by the councillors meant I had to be relocated to another city following a Masonic backlash against the victim statement orchestrated by police in collusion with the so-called supports they had forced me to use. The victim support charity head appeared on Newsnight in a leak of the case that would have identified me as having made a police statement to allies of my abusers in the city I was then living. As I had been at university studying media, the department would have appeared to be complicit in offering a deal to my home area, Richmond, Surrey, to cover up for the situation, amplified on national media. This was later confirmed when I interviewed some of my abusers to see what the police had actually done and returned to Richmond from the north where the police spread social exclusion gossip and false intelligence in the community to try to keep me unsupported and homeless. Richmond Council employees were in on the media cover-up explicitly. So I went from owning my own house outright and settled for a decade, predicted first-class honours at university, to being engineered by the police operation from Richmond to street homelessness. A second agency, allegedly for victims' rights, got involved, and I was briefly in Yorkshire, with the same rumour-mongering and social exclusion orchestrated by police allies, with an attempt by landlords in a syndicate with victim support employees to try to make a story by placing a paedophile in the same building as myself, where a young child was visiting another neighbour befriended by that registered sex offender. He ended up with 3 cracked ribs, but I walked. The syndicate had wanted blood to kill 2 birds with 1 stone. The police were involved in this media cover-up. My uncles were later found to be payrolling the second alleged victim support charity. On return to London, I ended up for 6 months in Richmond Park, homeless, and I had to buy my way off the street as Richmond Council took active measures to prevent me being housed in an attempt to sweep the whole mess under the carpet. It is explicit deals were made within the council to prevent exposure of criminal negligence in child protection. All orchestrated, and I was the real loser from talking to the police. My abusers in interview revealed they were tipped off by the police to cover their own arses. Independent Police Complaints Commission proved not to be independent at all and caused further police harassment on myself, leading to a human rights case. I do not say this to discourage victims coming forward, merely to caution it may be better to sort the situation out yourself than engage with many of the self-protecting systems present in the UK. The civil rights violations created by police and so-called victim support that led to my human rights case is why I went public by creating my website early 2005. In reaction to my website calling for victims' rights and public listing of sex offenders, Richmond courts literally accused me of terrorism, without any evidence of such. The civil mechanisms have not changed in that time, and a further backlash occurred once I no longer had protective right of interim from the European Court of Human Rights. Denial of abuse is institutional, and the national inquiries are just fronts for gathering legal information to defend state mechanisms from human rights claims. If you can't afford a human rights lawyer, think twice about talking to police about being a victim of child abuse. They will try to put you in to cover up for civil mechanism negligence in your childhood. I lost everything twice over for nothing in return and no resolution to the abuse from childhood. Give us the list.